Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Gaslight, located here in St. Louis, Missouri. If you haven't been by yet, it's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar. You can hang out as a fan and watch one of your favorite bands in the studio recording and have a cold drink, enjoy some tacos, and have a great time. Or if you have a band and you want to record, it's a great atmosphere to get in there and record a great record. You can come out there. They have a lot of fun events coming up on June 2nd. Dracula recording session going on. June 4th, Sunday, it's Gaslight Sessions with Slush Wave and Modern Gold. And on June 9th, Elliot Pearson over there recording his record. So a lot of fun things happening. Get involved. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Find everything at GaslightSTL.com. Hey, looking for some new music? Come by Music Record Shop in St. Louis, Missouri, located in the Dot Zack building. Hey, every Friday they have new records in store, including new John Mayer, new Incubus, the Chainsmokers, Justin Towns Earl, Blink-182, Greatest Hits, all kinds of stuff. Find full listing at musicrecordshop.com. You can shop online there 24/7. Be sure to follow along on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. They're always giving away records and tickets to shows and all kinds of sales and things going on, so it'll keep you up to date with what's happening. Again, shop online, musicrecordshop.com, and get involved. Shop local, people. This is a really great record store right here in St. Louis, and get out and support your local business. They also have a wonderful local music selection, so if you want to shop local, you heard some people on the show and you want to check them out, go over there and take a look at their local music selection. And if you have a band and you want to get your records on the shelf, reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, everything at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio, it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Joe.
This is Sean.
Carson.
I'm Phil. We're all from Scandaleros. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with the guys of the Scandaleros.
Hi!
Hola!
Welcome back to the show, guys.
Oh, man.
Yeah, actually, I guess this is Sean's
first time.
Yeah. Yep. Welcome, man. This is very exciting.
Virgin no more.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess we got a lot going on. We got a couple big shows coming up, and we got a record in the works and all kinds of things happening, but I thought it'd be fun to hang out and talk. We got a big show coming up on Saturday, June 10th at Broadway Oyster Bar. You guys really excited about? And this is Watkins Glen, yeah. 73. Was that right?
Yeah. So it's a Watkins Glen Summer Jam, and it's a legendary concert. It's like at one point it was the largest gathering of people ever at a concert in the United States, and. It was supposed to be just the one day with the band, the Grateful Dead, and the Allman Brothers. And there were so many people there before the day before the show. They all came out and did extended sound check, so to speak, but more or less played massive sets for the audience beforehand. So it's kind of one of those, you know, it lives in legendary status, that concert does. And since we know a lot of that music, you know, already, we did it as a one-off the last time, last spring at the Oyster Bar for fun. And it just went over really well. People loved it. And we just basically did the songs of those three bands all night long. We did one set of our own, our original stuff, and then two sets of the band, the Allman Brothers and the Grateful Dead,
all mixed night long. In together.
Yeah, mixed in together all throughout the night. Yeah. And we've got Spanky did it with us last time, and he's busy with
Philip Manalis.
Yeah, Philip Manalis is busy with another gig that night. So our friend Pat McClellan from the Schwai is going to fill in on. Piano and keys, and the Funky Butt Horns are going to join us for a handful of the tunes as well. So, you know, double drummers, the works, it'll get pretty rowdy. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, very good time. Very cool. Yeah, I didn't know very much about this particular event, but I did read up on online before coming over here today, and like,
Yeah, they said like they sold 150,000 tickets for $10 a piece.
It's crazy, $10 for that show.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then the rest of the people had like a free show because they were just around the park there.
Just outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's crazy to think that those three bands for $10, like.
Yeah, it's
inflation. It's crazy. What are you gonna do?
It's there true. Was somebody the other day on one of the Facebook posts about the event promo, talking about. And this, I thought this was cool. Maybe you guys saw it too. There was a guy who posted the event and reminding people, and somebody, it might even be in the event page, said something about, I was there when it happened. And I'm like,
oh no.
That's amazing.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. I'm like, that's one of those like life moments I think you mark music wise.
Nice.
Those don't happen very often. So.
Yeah. I would imagine so. Being there was quite a magical. I mean, maybe at the time, you know, you didn't think it was going to be anything. You just were going to see a rock show.
Yeah.
You know, but now looking back, it was quite amazing how many people were there, and those three bands never played together before or since.
Yeah. Is a cool bill, all three of them?
Never again, but just, you know, that one time in history. So.
Yeah. But it's funny because it linked those three bands forever. Like, in my mind, when I got the Watkins Glen, Live at Watkins Glen, the band album, and college, maybe my freshman year, when I got the CD of it, I didn't know the story. And I was opening to read the liner notes, and I'm like, what? And I found out that the All Roads, my two favorite bands were on there. And so, like, it linked those three bands in my mind together.
Sure, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, it was just, like, it put those three bands together, because I didn't know that it existed. That
was how I found out. Now, that's kind of the spirit of the show, though, isn't it? I mean, they all kind of played together. The sound checks you were referring to, I mean, they jammed together. So it did sort of irrevocably link the band.
For sure.
In that regard.
What I read today was the band opened, played like an hour, then the Dead played 2 hours, Allman Brothers played like 3 hours. But apparently there's the Dead were cut short a little bit because of like a massive storm.
Storm came
in. Always. And then so Allman Brothers came out and played 3 hours, and then they did like another hour or something jam after that jam with all three bands. Mm-hmm.
Imagine 3 hours. I mean, without a set break?
I think they took a set break, but
no, they're set break or like a long drum solo, right?
Yeah,
long.
That's the reason drum space exists, right?
Exactly what I was thinking.
Front guys go pee, the guy got the space, drummers go pee. Come back.
Exactly, or other things.
But yeah, that would have been pretty wild to see all three bands just jamming on stage, or members of each band.
I mean, there's recordings of it out there. You hear like Dickie Betts playing with the Grateful Dead. Like pretty much the end of their whole set, which is awesome. And some songs they never really played,
Well, the Dead, Allman Brothers, already from the Fillmore shows,
Fillmore, yep.
And other
Jerry played with the Allman Brothers on New Year's Eve, 1931-73. He sat in with the Allman Brothers the whole second set.
Right,
Jerry did.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's the story where that's the one where they finished the show and went outside and went the back door and the sun was coming up because they played till
dawn.
It was snowing.
For 3 hours, maybe.
They were walking out the back door and like they walked. I think the story is that him and Dickie walked off the back of the stage and went out the back door and that the sun was coming up and it was snowing and they're like, let's go get breakfast.
Let's
eat.
Yeah,
I'm hungry.
Nice.
Crazy times.
Yeah, and I also I wasn't sure where Watkins Glen even was, but. I read that is in New York, and I guess the population and the census in 2010 said it was like 2,000 people there.
Oh gosh!
So then, I think about how
it was almost like a Woodstock.
Yeah, there's 2,000 people in this town that lived there, and then 6,000 people showed up for a rock show. And I can't imagine that. That's just
think the infrastructure problems they had. Like there were two roads in, two roads out, and 150,000 people
I
plus.
I just can't imagine.
That's
a lot of patience.
Yeah. Really wanting to go to that show, too.
Yeah. People were more patient back then. They had longer attention spans.
Right now, it's like,
I think about our friends we had. Like, I didn't go to the first Bond Room, but there's legendary stories about friends of mine that went, that sat in traffic for,
growing pains. Yeah. I mean, you learn.
When you're young and you're that diehard about going to that show, that event, it doesn't bother you.
Sitting in your car for 8 hours.
40 plus an hour. I'm stuck in traffic for 10 minutes. I lose my crap now.
Sitting in traffic for an hour and a half, try to get into Alpine Valley in 89 to see the Dead. Nothing when you think about
it. I try to download an app, and it takes like 4 seconds, and I'm like, oh, God. Yeah. God. Come on, space.
But it is funny how like those three bands were such a huge part of like, remember when you had the catalogs you had in the back of your car that had all your CDs in it?
Oh yeah, those yeah. I got I one of those books.
In my yeah, I've got a bunch of them in there. Right, you know, too, yeah.
I was on a date with a girl. Oh, sorry.
Really? I was on a date with a girl in college, and she's like looking through one of those things, and she goes, "The first five pages of this whole thing are nothing besides the Grateful Dead, the Allman Brothers, and the band." And I'm like, "If this is going to be a problem, we might as well go ahead and stop right here. we can just call this as it is."
Yeah.
So. Yeah. This is when I feel like you don't know.
Me. Yeah. I don't even know you anymore.
But, so this all going on June 10th, Saturday. Broadway Oyster Bar, you guys are going to rock three sets, right?
Yeah. We're going to do one set again, like I said, with the original stuff, and then two sets of stuff. Yeah.
Two sets of all those three bands mixed together.
Very cool. Yeah. It's cool that, like, you started, like, as a one-off thing, but then, like, you know, now we're doing it again, and it's nice to see, like, some of these things, like, people start them as I was like, hey, that'd be kind of fun, and then it maybe actually turns into something, like whether it's an annual thing or whatever it is. And so it'd be cool to see that you guys, I mean, obviously you guys know a lot of this material, play a lot of this stuff around, but
it's the music we love.
Yeah, but doing this like on a regular basis would be fun to do this stuff.
I like the idea of theme shows. I think you're kind of, you know, we played a lot between the two bands, between Scandaleros and Alligator Wine. We played a lot. And I realize that, you know, we're lucky to have the people who come out and support us like they do, but I think when you kind of spin it a little bit different way and say, hey, tonight is specifically this, it's kind of a...
It keeps it different. You know,
It keeps it fresh. Yeah. It's, you know, I'm excited. I've been excited about it since we put the date, and, you know...
It's great material.
Yeah.
And as a musician, you want to play the material you love to play, and so... In that regard,
it's not work at all. It's just it's really fun, you know. It's like
I've been looking forward to it since the end of the last show because it went off so well, and we all looked at each other like that was great.
Yeah, it was quite amazing. It was a great turnout.
Fantastic.
Talking of the Voodoo Allman Brothers show the other night, right?
Well, there's that too.
He was talking about the last time we did the other show.
The last time we did the Watkins Glen.
But the Voodoo Allman show the other night was.
That was amazing as well.
For sure, that was an incredible night.
Same feeling.
Same feeling.
I couldn't wait for the next one.
Yeah.
It was the same feeling, but it was different because of the circumstances around it as well. I mean, it was incredibly, I don't know, it was, not to sound cheesy, but I thought...
Tragically coincidental.
Yeah. The Voodoo show the other night was definitely therapeutic for
all
of us, and as well as obviously a lot of people in the audience. I mean... I saw people with tears in their eyes at different points, and I was like, you know, that's
My mom cried all night. Yeah, she
was she was so sweet.
Your mom is awesome. Yeah. I love seeing your mom in shows.
Yeah, it's, you know, when I was getting ready for the show, I was listening to the Allman Brothers before the show just to kind of get my head in the right space. You know, I found myself like tearing up just like listening to it. I'm like, whoa. I never had that happen to me, like, for Allman Brothers, you know. It's like, I've had that happen to me for, like, you know, Grateful Dead stuff and Jerry Garcia stuff, you know, like, you know, the songs bring back memories, you know, and you start to well up a little bit. Yeah. This is the first time I kind of did that. It was kind of emotional. So, yeah. Emotions all around.
Yeah.
Well, I think it speaks to how you relate, or how we all relate, really, to the music, and how those bands, each one of the three bands, too, were about the spirit of the music and how much they loved it. And I think, in some regard, we love it the same way they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it means so much to us emotionally and spiritually and musically.
Yep.
You know, I personally can't wait to play more Allman Brothers music, more Grateful Dead music, the band, you know, and our own stuff. I think our own stuff reflects the spirit of those bands.
It's funny how many friendships you have through that sort of thing, too. Like, I got emotional listening to the Allman Brothers for a couple of days there, just different songs, different parts, and sometimes different reasons. I mean, sometimes it was something that reminded me, you know, like, obviously there's, I've talked about it a lot, there's the connection of Soulshine with my dad for me, so that song's always going to be important to me. But then the other night, it had a whole different sort of emotion, but my dad was still part of that. But even just people we saw the other night, like, you know, our buddy Randy Gibbs comes up, and Randy is a diehard Allman, he's probably the most diehard Allman Brothers fan that I know. He's seen probably more Allman Brothers shows than anybody else. And when I saw him come into the stage when we were setting up, when he came walking up the stage, say hi, gave us all hugs. I was like, man, that got me too, just seeing him, because I knew what it meant to him.
Right.
I'm like, same here. There's a guy that was impacted by this probably more than all of us. It was probably Randy. You know, and just as, you know, a sweetheart of a human being, Randy is. And it's like one of those where you're like, man, this music has touched a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And, you know.
Now, what do you call it? You call it the family songbook?
That's what I refer to it as.
I mean, and it really does. It's like it's a collection of music that includes everyone. It brings everyone mm-hmm. in, you know.
Everybody has something in common.
Yeah.
It's like a common thread we all have, and we can all connect with that.
Yeah.
I heard Sean say it one night, jokingly, a late night. He goes, you know, there's the St. Louis, I think he called it the St. Louis scene songbook. I can't remember what he said, something like that. And I said, yeah, it's like the family songbook. And there's these songs that we all know that we can sit in with each other's bands and go, there's this catalog that we're all familiar with that we can kind of pull from. And it's funny how, like, nobody ever sat down and said, these are the 200 songs or 50 songs or 30 songs.
They're all going to learn together.
Yeah.
Right? Collectively.
Exactly.
Let's all learn these together.
But you know, good mothers, guys, you're going
to. But subconsciously, we all did it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you
well,
know.
It's the best music, man.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
it. Yeah. For me, yeah, it is.
Great American music. There you go.
For sure.
Oh, you said the other night when we were during before soundcheck that was like the. As far as American rock and roll goes, I don't know that it gets any better than the Allman Brothers. I mean, it's like,
no.
They're just straight ahead. Like, I mean, like, creating an actual sound is one thing, and that's like the fathers of Southern rock, which I guess is what they get dubbed as. But I mean, it's
right.
a, way bigger than that.
Yeah,
it's way beyond that. And
in terms of musicianship, yeah. songwriting,
yeah, they put jazz,
spirit,
blues, country,
yeah.
they were
everything, and that's
all,
American,
yeah. and that's
right?
And they were integrated
bandish,
and they were integrated and disintegrated. Yeah. They were, you know, they were one of the first bands that was that had. Black members and white members playing together in the
oh,
rock and roll
correct.
Scene, and to be from the South
yeah,
sure,
at
sure.
the time where they did it too is, you know, that's
being from where they were.
Being from where they were at a time when they were coming about, and to have an integrated band like that was really progressive.
Yeah.
Very, very outside of the box, and it wasn't necessarily common, you know.
No, not at all.
Especially in the South. I mean, you hear stories about the Sun Records stuff and the Muscle Shoals guys were like. They were innovative because they were letting black and white artists record at the same time together, but they couldn't necessarily always perform together in public.
Right, because they
behind closed
yeah,
doors.
Black
yeah.
folk couldn't go into some clubs.
Yeah, and so there's aspects of all that stuff involved in that music, and, you know, helps create that sound.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, I know that. I mean, obviously, I wasn't able to see a lot of this stuff live, but this all, I mean, Allman Brothers was a huge part of my childhood growing up, with my dad being, you know, I graduated '74, so he was, you know, right there with
Harvey.
Yeah,
nice.
So he was, you know, I was definitely always listening to Allman Brothers as a kid. But so this stuff, I mean, even though, like I said, I didn't get to live it, but it still means a lot to me. And now, I mean,
sure.
But yeah, it's great music.
Well,
yeah.
Fillmore East, I guess you call it a box set, but that recording. It's a classic, you know. I mean, it's one of the great live recordings of all time.
Like, rated one of the
best.
I mean, one of the best live albums.
Against anything.
But even an actual box set where you get the multiple nights of the thing, the actual box set, the 3-CD, 4-CD.
Right.
Set, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's because the songs even sound different from night to night the way they're done.
Oh, well, because we were listening to some, I guess, Be Real recordings or something of it, where there's saxophone playing on Hotlanta.
Yeah.
Elizabeth. You don't hear that. And then, man, I mean, the jazzy quality, you know, the improvisation and the way they got outside.
Yeah.
Man, that is amazing. I mean, call that rock and roll.
Well, I mean, in the 2000s, you know, like, the Allman Brothers had tons of guests. You know, I remember seeing Deep Banana Blackout play with them at Riverport.
That's cool.
You know, and the Hordes came out with them, and then, you
yeah.
know, Carl Denson,
sure.
you know, recorded on one of their albums
the
on Desdemona.
Yeah, we were talking
so,
about that the other night, too.
You know, it just, yeah. It
one
just,
of their Beacon Runs always had a bunch of guests, too, like
yeah.
when they did the Beacon Theaters
yeah.
run. They
you know,
had
this reminds me of, I think it was Wynton Marsalis playing with the Grateful Dead, right?
Yes.
Branford.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that speaks to the spirit of the music and what this band represents and what the night of June 10th means to us is a chance for, you know, people to play great music and play it together and have a sense of community come from it.
Yeah, I've said something to Austin Sabluski already, by the way, about doing some of the... He did one of the Alligator Wine Nights with us on saxophone, the saxophone player from the Funky Butt Brass Band. And he came and did, you know, a night of Grateful Dead music with us. And obviously we went to the Branford material really quick, but... talking about that this coming week, like, you know, hey, we're not just going to have you guys on the band tunes that have horns on them. We're going to some of the Allman Brothers songs, some of the Dead songs too, or, you know, maybe don't traditionally have horn arrangements or have horn parts. I think that's half the fun for me, anyways. Like seeing
yeah.
what
take
seeing
risks,
what, yeah, seeing what your friends
take
are going to take music,
risks.
Yeah, and do with it.
That's the best kind of music
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Get outside the box.
Well,
find
that's
the
what
weird.
Those bands do.
Yeah,
musically risk it.
Yeah. And that's what the Scandaleros does too, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, we're definitely.
Oh, you get me on the microphone.
One,
it's
two,
definitely
three,
risky.
Four, one, two, three.
Well, you know.
Wah, wah. What did my mom call you yesterday? Animated?
Who did?
My mom. She did. She goes, I've seen you guys play before, but I didn't realize Joe was quite so animated, I guess.
Oh.
I'm like,
I guess I should tone it down a little bit.
You didn't, if you didn't offend her, she would have said if you offended her. Trust me. My mom knows how to speak her mind pretty clearly.
Gotcha.
No, she just thought it. She had a great time listening to it. So it was like, cool. But you know, it was funny because Jack was playing right in front of you. So I'm sure she was paying attention specifically to what.
I don't think I did anything while your son was in front of me.
You didn't do anything. Period. Bad. That's like I said. You were just being animated. That's all.
I never do anything bad, by the way.
Not true. Not true.
I got photos.
The fact that he says that is an admission of the fact that he does all kinds of stuff.
All bad.
Salty Joe. Like Carson said, I feel like you guys do kind of embody that spirit effect that, like, it's always, not always, but a lot of times it's Scandaleros and Friends. You guys do love having all your friends jumping in. And
all the time.
Yeah, we did yesterday we did the Summer Goth, the Rock Austin.
Your son.
Yeah, my kid, Nate Hershey, Pat McClellan, Zach and Derek from Al Hadi's band came out and joined us.
That was cool.
That was very cool. That was really fun. So,
I mean, like, you guys should have a horn section all the time.
Yeah, we should.
The best part about both Nate and Pat joining us was they just kind of walked out and we looked at them and the keys were empty and they just
walked out.
That was pretty
cool.
Mid-song.
That was pretty cool.
Both times it was like, they're open. Yeah, they're open for a reason.
Yeah. All I did was raise my eyebrows at Pat when he came around the corner. I went, because I was playing, you can't see my face.
Yeah.
And so I was going to raise my eyebrows, and he was like, he sent his drink down, went over and like hopped on right away.
Yeah, don't have to ask me twice.
Nope.
He didn't really, like, mentally asked.
Yeah. Yeah. We spoke in some sort of
mind bullets.
But you know, a lot of bands have the courage to have different players on different songs without any kind of coordination.
Or the trust, I think for me, it's the trust thing.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because there are guys, and we know who they are. There's guys who we don't necessarily, you know, almost say that we don't want them to play with us, but there's times where, like, you know the people you can trust. I think I'd rather put it that way, probably.
Right. Musically.
You know the people you can trust, musically. You know that the guys who are going to speak the same language, they're going to get where you're going, they're going to...
Right, exactly.
Like, it doesn't have to do necessarily always ability as much as it has to do with the idea of people that you know feel comfortable doing that. In that atmosphere.
Yeah.
And so that's the best way to explain it. But that was a fun time yesterday. That was a blast. I feel every bit of it today, though. We did
I wish we could have played that last set, though. I was kind of looking forward to set, actually.
Well, we were going to do that, the last set, and then I think it just kind of slipped everybody's attention until the very end that they had an outdoor music curfew.
Right.
And we were going to be up against it.
I wondered.
We'd put off that last set with the Funky Butt guys, because they're on we have the album coming out. And so Hillary was there, and she's singing on the album, and then the Funky Butt guys are there, and they're playing on the album, and Spanky was playing with us for the day. We're like, hey, this is a chance where we could do these. And I even took the time to talk to those guys about if they're all good with their arrangements on it, and they're, yeah, we got it. So we were all looking forward. I was really looking forward to the last set. They kind of got canned, and I lobbied for about 30 seconds, and it was very clear that it was not something that was, I'm like, okay, I got it.
They weren't going to push the envelope.
No. I mean, it was a great day, and it was fun, but... We played lately been typical. We played yesterday afternoon in Belleville in the sun and 2 to 4. It was hot. And then turned around, drove back from Belleville to the Rock House, loaded in, set up, and then played our sets there last night.
About 3 30-minute sets. So.
Yep. And then I played with Funky Butt and then accidentally wound up at the Oyster Bar playing with Cluster Pluck.
That'll
happen.
I'm a slut.
Musical slut.
I am a musical slut. Somebody said it last night, too. I'm like, yep, it's true. I am. That just means I got a lot of really talented friends that are...
Oh, is that what it means?
That's what it means. Shut up, Joe.
We got a couple other things, but the big one, like, we're pushing is June 10th. We want you to come out and hang out with us for the band Grateful Dead and Allman Brothers music all night long. And, of course... A set of originals from Scandaleros here. But we also have, Tuesday at Pops?
We had to do the middle track here before we started. Tuesday night we're at Pops on the Moon for our Terrapin Tuesdays with Alligator Wine, All Grateful Dead that night. And then Wednesday, Carson and I have a duo gig at the Monocle on the patio. They've got a new happy hour series started. I think Tommy Holleran did one. I think a couple of people are doing.
Well, that's a really cool space over there, the Monica.
Yeah, it is.
That little theater in the back is just beautiful. Like, it's I'm really excited to see what continue to develop. And
well, I think Laura's being really ambitious about it, and she's she's a go-getter. She's a hustler. So I mean, I think that's she's got good ideas, and I think she's going to work there. So
yeah.
And then after that, going down for the Voodoo Little Feet, which will be fun, and then. Thursday night, we're at Al's 520 Club, Al's Club 520 over in
Granite City.
Is that where it is? Yeah, Granite City. And Scott Fanning's birthday party. So we're going to play that as kind of the mega band version of Alligator Wine with Spanky on keys. And rumor has it Sean Cannon's going to join us and play for the evening as well. So maybe some other special guests. So
it's open to the public, too.
Yeah, it's open to the public. It's not a private party, so it's at Al's 520 Club and over there in
Granite City.
It's on the other side of a river. It's sometimes I get lost in St. Charles and on the Illinois side a lot. But it's a
there is a Facebook event, so you can
right.
find
and
it.
It's an early show too, by the way. I think we start at 7 o'clock.
We're playing like 7 to 11.
Basically 7 to 11, yeah. So
but no, I'm in bed by midnight.
No. No. Let's be real about that.
There you go. That's
you
a good
to drive. You have to drive past the oyster bar afterwards. So.
Oh, I meant other people, not you.
Yeah.
Summer film. Musical slut.
That is not
funny. It's coming on.
We do like each other a lot, trust me.
And then
in a good way.
Just announced yesterday, or well, whenever this goes up, but June 16th at Old Rock House, Voodoo Allman Brothers.
Yes, indeed.
Yep.
So that's going to be a big one, too.
That'll be
have some different players on that, right?
Yeah, Tony Barbata, a friend of ours, is going to be on the second drum kit with Sean England, and then Dave Grilly is going to be on keys. Right? Yeah, sorry, kind of played there. Yeah, I'm psyched as hell about playing with Dave Grilly again too.
Gonna be awesome. Yeah, I don't think I've ever played with him.
Really? Yeah. And
you know what? It's funny. I think he worked at McMurray Music back in the day, and he actually was one of the people that sold me my modulus bass that I'm playing right over there. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Back in the day, yeah,
that's funny.
He was working at the counter there. Yeah, so hey, whatever that means.
I understand.
That's your.
I don't know.
That's your sole connection to him at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment, it's my connection to him. It's like
after the 16,
he gave me a receipt.
Musical Brothers.
Yes, he gave me a receipt, and I was like, wow.
Well, considering what Dave's been through, I mean, that's it's. I'm just psyched as hell to get to play with him, and he's such a big part of everything about St. Louis music, and you'll never hear anybody say a bad word about him. And personality wise, he totally fits in with this group of knucklehead friends of ours. So, I'm psyched he's on it. I was really excited when Sean called yesterday morning and said that it was on and that Dave was going to do it. And of course, Tony Barbata has played with us before at different times, and he's
a beast.
He's one of our favorite knuckleheads too. So.
He's a knucklehead. I know him from back in the day, but I've never actually played with him, so I can't wait.
Yeah, you have.
I have where.
Jamboree. When we were doing the Jamboree nights, he came and sat down on a couple of those and played drums with us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it wasn't in an official capacity. It wasn't just
like two songs.
Oh, sorry.
That doesn't count. Sorry, Tony.
We were getting paid on a gig at the Oyster Bar. I'm pretty sure that counts as an official
capacity. I didn't mean it like that. I guess I didn't realize that. Oh, I guess I did then. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Whatever.
He made the whole gig.
I still love that at Dirty Italian.
Whoa.
Those are his exact words, I think.
Yeah, man.
You're getting salty.
I hung out with Tony on the show one night down there in his drum lab.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. He's a great guy, and I love that. He plays a little bit of everything from Sleepy Ruby stuff to rock and roll. And
very diverse, very talented.
Go to hip hop, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
he's a great player.
And he's one of those for his own snarkiness. He's one of those generally. Good dudes too. Yeah.
Remember what he said? What he say when he did the little drive by? We were playing the Wine Walk there on the hill. He's like, you kids turn that down or something.
He drove by with his wife in the car, and we're playing on the sidewalk in front of this place and on the hill for the Wine Walk. And all of a sudden, we hear, "Hey, knock off the racket!" And he's hanging out the window, tamping his hands down. This Tony, like, hanging out the window, like, hey. It was right on the street. So I was like, "That's him."
Yeah.
But he's also like I said, he's one of those. He texted me. I posted something about being the anniversary of my dad's death. And he's one of the people who texted me, like, offline, said something nice and, thinking of you type of thing. So that's, those are the people that we're friends with. It's like, we can all bust each other's balls pretty well, but, I mean, I think that I know that I could count on anybody in this room and any of the guys we've talked about today who, like, if you needed them as a friend, they'd be there for you. And, you know, that's not always the case. And I, you know,
sure.
And everything else in life, much less in music. So, I mean, you know, we're pretty fortunate to be around the people we're with. So.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Speaking of Grelly, you know, playing too, I think that was pretty obvious too, the way the community came around for him and
rally
stuff.
For him.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, gosh. Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, we got each other's back.
Oh yeah. So. Don't mess with. Don't. Yeah. You mess Justice. With one of them, you mess with all of them. Yeah. Yeah. Justice.
But has he played? I mean, I saw him on stage with Funky Butt, and he sang on for the Christmas show.
Yeah, he did the what's the Zeppelin the pageant with
Celebration Day.
Celebration. Okay. He did the Celebration Day gig, and then he did a. I think he had one or two other shows since then too. But
yeah.
You know, I've seen pictures of him on stage.
Okay,
but I can't remember.
Yeah,
he's doing better.
Yeah, he's getting back in there. Yeah
he's doing better. So, it's still, you know, he's
sure.
There's a road in front of him still, and he knows it. But yeah. he's doing better. I don't want to get into his business right. at all about anything, but he's you know,
yeah,
he knows we're always thinking about him. He knows we all wish him the best and
want
him to continue to recover. And he's a, you know, dude's a badass.
Yeah,
and he's a monster player, and you're just lucky anytime you're on stage with him. So.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that's the Voodoo Almond Brothers show, June 16th at Old Rock House. All these guys will be there, and it's gonna be another fun one.
Yeah,
so,
mm-hmm.
and that
it's gonna rage.
Thank you. So you guys,
there's a lot of Allman Brothers stuff going on in a few weeks, and you know, and it can seem like you can pick and choose one or the other to go to, but they all have a different flavor and sure. a different thing to it for sure. And I think you know, I realize everybody can't be at everything all the time, but I mean, you know, if you can make those two very different, the June 10th and the June 16th shows will be very different.
Absolutely.
And
the
June 16th one is if you were at the Allman Brothers or you saw the videos of the Voodoo Almonds last week, it's going to be, you know, it's
going to have a different flavor, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's like barbecue. Do you ever really get tired of barbecue?
I mean, it's
pork ribs, but somebody's using a dry rub, somebody's using sauce. It's different, but man, I never get tired of it.
This band will always bring back metaphors about food at no time at any given time.
I mean, or potato salad, you know, some folks
now have onions. Now we're talking, you get some potato salad together, that's a Sunday afternoon right there.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, no, I never get tired of barbecue.
Why aren't we cooking?
Yeah, right.
How come there's no barbecue here right now?
You guys did all the things I did yesterday, too, right? So there's the reason I'm not standing around a hot fire at all today.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
That's what I told Cowboy yesterday. We played this gig yesterday afternoon. There's no tent on the stage, and we're all friends. We've known them forever. Man. Look at that. You got pink on the top of your arms all over the place.
Yeah, look where my wristband was.
Everybody's got some sun.
My wristband's red.
Dude, I put a pizza in the oven last night, and then when I opened the door, it was like the surface of the sun. And I was just like, oh, God, I can't even put the pizza in the
oven. Sizzle.
I told Kelby, I go, man, you know, look at this band. I'm like, it's like an offensive line. We're not built for this, man.
We need shelter. We need shade.
You know, shade. Maybe a mister from Six Flags.
Wow. Mister, yeah.
I agree with a Mister fan band on the stage. You know, like blowing like the straight mist at you.
I never thought overcast would be my favorite time to be outside.
Like, scratch your nose.
Overcast.
And every once in a while, the breeze would come through, like the street.
So good.
There was one time I know where I just took my arms out and did like flapping my arms, just trying to air myself out. I was like, I am dying here. And I'm watching that little kid in front of us that was dancing on the floor like on the street do the same thing, and I'm like, he's mocking me. I know.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
It was pretty dang hot.
It was a warm one.
Yeah.
It was a good time, though.
Delirious.
Yeah, it was. Oh, it was great, yeah.
The people were super receptive to it. They had a good, that was, you know, it was a fun party.
Yeah.
It's always being little babies about it, I guess.
Well, I mentioned the opening of the show, and you mentioned at Summer Girl having the, maybe doing some of those originals, but you guys are working on the record and should be wrapping up soon, right?
Yeah, we've got a busy week last week, and then a really busy week this week coming up, but then we kind of made it a point.
Hopefully finishing it up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. We've got to go back in and do like a couple of little adjustments, but after that it's down to the mastering session, and then we'll hopefully be... I hope, to honestly, by the time we get to the end of July, that we can announce a release, and we'll have merchandising and everything with that, too, and a new brand, new logo, new stuff, and we're excited about the album. It's one of those... The people that have heard the rough tracks have...
It is pretty exciting, I gotta say.
It's good.
We're pretty proud of what we're putting together.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that feeling when you're like listening to something and you're like, you can't believe it's your own stuff, you know? Like, you know, I mean, like you have a good show and you're like, wow, that really went off well, you know? And sitting there just listening to some of the initial mixes, it's pretty exciting for me. Yeah, I guess a lot of them are my songs, but it is pretty exciting to see the culmination of all that effort.
I would think in your spot where these are the songs you've written and then to hear other people come in and put what they think needs to go. Like, for me, hearing like what the Funky Butt guys came in and did, or what Spanky came in and did, or what you came in and did on percussion separate from the drums, all of a sudden those songs each time took on a new flavor. And I got to think from your spot, Carson, that you're the person who wrote those songs and however that works in your head, whatever that thing is,
so
the music,
you know, talking to. Well, they changed so much since we first, you know, Carson and I first started playing those tunes. You know, the band was completely different.
Yeah.
And the songs have matured into just greatness, I think. And now in the studio, it's you'll hear that greatness.
Yeah. I think you do. And I really heard it when Terry and Emily and Hillary came and sang on it. It turned it into something.
It's changed the way we sing.
I'm really excited for people to hear it.
Like, we can't sing what they can sing. There's no way. Those girls have amazing voices, and
the way they sang together.
The way they put together for having never at the time sang together, the three of them. They came in the studio that night, literally worked out their lines together, leaning across his shoulder, bugging him, and then hear him go in the booth and knock it out of the park and come back out. I listened to those rough tracks, those three tracks that we got back from that. Over and over and over, and I took it to Florida and I played it for those guys, and they're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
But it's changed the way, like, I mean, I sing a couple of those songs differently, well, harmony wise now. Like, there's parts that we didn't do beforehand that we do now because of their idea about the song. And it's funny how it changed, you know. And maybe that's common. I don't know. I haven't done something like that with a whole lot of different guests before, like on a recording. But to have it, like, the guests actually impact the way that you perform the songs live, you know, that's.
It's finding the right combination of people to hear. What can be good in that song? It might not have necessarily been something you heard, but you're like, I hear, you know, some female voices here. So they come in and they throw it on there, and you're like, that's what I hear.
And then we turned around and like a couple weeks back, Carson and I had a duo show at ITAP, and we did some of those original tunes and then did them in different keys than we usually do them in, and to tear it down to like that sparse of an arrangement after doing these big arrangements on it, like that was a fun thing to do all over again too. Where you're like, all right, this is going to feel and sound completely different, but you know.
Yeah, when Carson was talking about your, you know, being proud of that, your own music, I said I was waiting for the food metaphor to come in.
Well, you know, when you finally learn how to cook, you're like, you cook your own barbecue. You're like, dang, the pork ribs turned out really good.
Some people get a little like they don't like to toot their own horn. You know, they say their stuff is good, but they don't want to feel like they're overselling it to people.
Mm-hmm, right.
I've never felt bad about that. I've never felt narcissistic about listening back to stuff I've played, because I'll listen back and go, yeah, I really screwed that up.
Yeah.
You know? But then, two measures later, man, I killed it. I was a rock star. I was the best player in town last night.
For those 2 minutes.
For two measures, I was the best in town.
I was the baddest mofo in town.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things where as a player, you're like, you got to promote yourself, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you try to do that balance between not being here. But those are the fun moments where you know you kicked its ass, and, you know, it's still laying on the floor, and you destroyed it already, and you're like, that's the fun stuff. That's, you know, that's the special shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, keep an eye out. New record coming soon. And again, get on down to Broadway Oyster Bar Saturday night, June 10th. And the tribute to Summer Jam, Watkins Glen. So yeah, we got a lot of big stuff happening. Be sure to follow the Scandaleros on Facebook and keep up there and all the events and stuff. So thanks again for having me over here to the Dude Zone.
Yeah, anytime, buddy.
Come to you live from the Dude Zone.
Over a time where we don't record too. Yeah. You know, you can come over. We can just hang out and barbecue.
Yeah, no,
we can just do that.
Like, let's be friends.
Yeah.
Joe just wants you to get sexy. That's
right.
All.
Yeah.
Joe. I had some people coming up to me last night about sex. No, maybe I shouldn't start a story. Never mind.
Yeah.
Just come out to our shows. You'll see what it's all about.
Yeah. There were a couple of ladies who mentioned that you were talking about. Let's get sexy last night.
Oh, yeah.
Joe's really animated.
Oh, that's a nice way of saying it. Yeah. Very animated.
Phil's mom's into Joe.
Aww. Wah, wah.
Mom, these guys really do like you, trust me.
Way to end it, Carson. Yeah.
Alright. Thanks, guys.
Alright,
see you.
Thank you, everybody.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.